The apostles were, after Jesus' death, what I would call wounded people. They were, in one sense, a shadow of who they were whilst Jesus was with them. The reason being that they had seen the man that they loved and began to really understand. They saw him being treated so brutally that the world as they knew it had now shifted. They had faith in Jesus and in his goodness, because the things that Jesus said and did were completely the opposite to what most of the religious and political leaders were saying and doing in his time. And to have somebody come through who was such a shining light and then to be treated in that way, they were, to use Australian parlance, they would have been gutted. So I figure that the apostles, prior to Pentecost, were wounded because they were full of doubt and fear, a sense of failure, but there would also have been a sense of inadequacy in there as well, that they were all powered up, ready to go and change the world, and then all of a sudden they had nothing left. Now, you might be able to identify with some of those negative things that I talk about there when I talk about wounds, doubt, fear, failure, and feeling inadequate. They are part of the human condition when we have our hearts, our minds, and sometimes our wills broken by awful things that happen. And I don't think it was any different for the apostles. So what Luke has done, St. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke as well, has done in the Acts of the Apostles, he has taken the scene that happened on Mount Sinai when the commandments of God were given to Moses, and he has used the image and the language of that event and put it into the Pentecost event. The word Pentecost the Feast of Pentecost, celebrated in the Hebrew calendar, was the giving of the Ten Commandments. So when we have Luke telling us how this Pentecost, which means 50 days after Easter, when we have this Pentecost being celebrated, it is the end of the old commandments and it's replaced by the new commandment. So the image and the language that's used is going to be an imagery and language that would be familiar to the audience, to Luke's audience. And what he does, therefore, is he brings in the languages and the nations of the world. On Mount Sinai, there were 70 flames of fire came and rested on the members, 70 representing all of the nations of earth. And in Luke's version of Pentecost, we have the tongues of fire, and we have the wind as well. The same elements that were used when Moses received, as I said, the Ten Commandments. Now, that action is what unlocked the wounded apostles. They were bound up in their own fear, I suspect, but then they were released. And if you're trying to explain what the Holy Spirit is to young people or to non-Christians, it can be a little bit challenging. But perhaps one of the best images that you can use, and it's relative as well, is the image of somebody who has their life has been completely altered because of a mental disability. And I'm not just talking about somebody who might be suffering from depression. I'm talking about somebody whose whole body is locked up in an anguish of mental and physical disability. They do not have the freedom to do what you and I take for granted because of that disability. So if you want an image of the Holy Spirit, try this on for size. A Frenchman by the name of Jean Vanier. Many of you would know of Jean Vanier. He died within the last month. He set up houses, little communities, for people who had mental illness, and particularly they may have had quite severe physical disabilities as well. Some of you may know people who have Down syndrome, for example, people who have some of those afflictions. What was happening in Jean Vanier's life was, as was happening across the Western world, is that these people who had such a disability were locked away in institutions. And Jean Vanier saw in those wounded bodies a full human being. And he brought them together and he set them up in houses so that they could live in a relatively normal situation with love and tenderness and care around them. Pretty much the same way that most of us live. In Canberra, there are 6, soon to be 7, of those houses, which is amazing. And the organisation he set up is called L'Arche, which means the Ark, correct? The L'Arche communities, they're all over the world in over 140 countries now, where they have taken individuals who are wounded, to use my language like that, set them up in a house with a carer full time and are able to live normal, productive lives despite what might be going on in their mind and their body. I have a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Catherine. And I knew her when she was your age, Delwyn. And I'm not sure that I gave her a first communion. Probably not. But I knew her when she was a little girl. 2 years ago, I went to her 50th birthday. And at her 50th birthday, what turned up, and I may have told you this, was a big bearded man in a big leather jacket and a Harley Davidson. And I don't think I've ever seen a bigger smile than what I saw on Catherine's face that day, because she lives in a L'Arche house in Chifley. When she jumped on the back of that Harley Davidson and he rode off and gave her an hour's tour around Canberra, because all she wanted was to have a ride on a Harley Davidson. Such a simple thing, yet she was unlocked. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit, how the action of the Holy Spirit is. We can't give the Holy Spirit a gender. If you read any of the literature, you will see the Holy Spirit being referred to as male and female. We see the effects of the Holy Spirit in Catherine's smile, perhaps. We see the effects of the Holy Spirit when we see people who are wounded begin to be healed. That's what Pentecost was. From that moment, the language of fear that had locked the apostles up, the Holy Spirit unlocked that for them and they were energised. The language that we talk about is taking the opposites that exist in life and turning them into something really positive, freedom. So we move from war, talking of the language of war, to the language of peace. From the language of competition to the language of cooperation. Think of these opposites in your own life. From the language of vengeance to the language of forgiveness. This is what unlocks our freedom. From despair, we move to hope. From bigotry, we move into being tolerant people. From being hostile and angry, we move into having friendships. We move from the language of division into the language of unity, despite the fact that we are different. And as I said 4 weeks ago in this church, in this spot, just because somebody is different doesn't mean that we see danger. We just see difference. And you get that in the way that our readings were delivered this morning. And we move from the language of hate into the language of love. My prayer for our parish particularly, which is so rich with the cultures of the world, is that we might be able to exhibit amongst ourselves, in our families and in our wider community, that peace, that cooperation, that forgiveness, the hope, the tolerance, the friendship, the unity and the love that the apostles witnessed in Jesus and regained at Pentecost by the outpouring of the Spirit.